Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. You know, God has used music down through the centuries to communicate the record of the first coming of Jesus Christ. He will also use music to reveal the truth of his second coming as well. David James comes to the broadcast table in a moment with more information on this lead story. Let me remind you of my website, prophecytoday.com. The banner over the website says, "Looking at Current Events in Light of Biblical Prophecy." That's what our mission statement is. We want to give you all the prophetic truth of God's Word, which is found in every book of the Bible, by the way. And then we'll take that, use it as a spotlight on current events, and see if the current events fit into the prophetic scenario found in the Word of God. As you move into this next year, I would suggest you might want to bookmark my website. Go to it, and some people go to it two or three times a day. At least once in a while, check it out to see what these current events are that are happening in our world that may well fit into the prophetic scenario that is found in the Bible. That website address, prophecytoday.com. We now bring David James to these microphones. You know, David and I discuss a current issue facing the church almost every week, but we're going to do something a bit different today. Some of our listeners may not know that David James has a music ministry as well as his traveling and teaching ministry. Today we're going to play one of the Christmas songs that he's recorded and then discuss the biblical truth in that song. Before we listen to it, David, what can you tell us about this song?
Well, the song, "Mary, Did You Know," as you said, the words were written by Mark Lowry, and that was back in 1984 as he was working on a Christmas program for his church. Now, the music wasn't written until 1991 when Mark gave the words to Betty Green, who was also touring with the Gaither Vocal Band at the time. Michael English, who was also part of the Gaither Band, was actually the first person to record the song that same year. The one we're playing today is based on an arrangement that Mark Lowry has used. And over the last 30 years, literally hundreds of people have recorded it, and it has charted many times. Last Sunday, I sang the song at our church, and our music director made the comment that she thought it was one of the best songs that had ever been written. And "Mary, Did You Know" is written from the perspective of someone asking Mary a series of questions and trying to understand just how much Mary actually grasped in those early days, just before and after Jesus was born.
"Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the
David, I would have to agree with your music director. It's a great song. It's one of my favorites. May well be the favorite of all Christmas songs that talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. But not only that, throughout all of the song, great biblical truth. It's hard to imagine all the things that must have been going on through Mary's mind. But the first one she had to deal with was being engaged as a virgin who was now expecting a child.
Well, our pastor spoke about that in his message on Sunday morning. Just imagine trying to wrap your mind around this. The thought of telling your husband that an angel appeared to you who told you that you were going to have a baby, that the child wasn't going to be Joseph's, and then trying to convince your husband that you're still a virgin. And according to the account in Matthew, Mary had told Joseph about this even before God sent an angel to him in a dream to confirm what she had said. And we need to understand that they were actually legally married because the betrothal period was more than just an engagement. It was a contractual arrangement, and the betrothal period lasted about a year before the marriage was consummated at the wedding feast. So for their family and friends in the community, there were only two possible explanations. Either Joseph and Mary had violated the betrothal together, and Joseph knew that hadn't happened, or Mary had been with another man, and she knew that hadn't happened. And if anyone on earth knew that Mary was a virgin, it certainly was Mary. But this is exactly what was prophesied to be a sign to the house of David when the Lord spoke to King Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where he said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
You know, one of the major themes of the song is the many miracles that Jesus Christ did during his public ministry, with several of them mentioned in the song. Remind us, David, what was the significance of all the miracles that Jesus did?
Well, the first thing we need to understand is that miracles often had two aspects to them, and these are the primary purpose and what I call the secondary benefit. For example, let's think about the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 5. Was the primary purpose to feed this large crowd of people when they're just going to be hungry again in a few hours? No, that was a secondary benefit. But the secondary benefit was to prepare people to understand the primary purpose, which we find in the next chapter, where Jesus tells them that he's the bread of life, and this bread that gives eternal life is received by believing in him. Or let's think about his very first miracle in John chapter 2 when he turned water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. Was the primary purpose just to keep the party going after they ran out of wine about halfway through the celebration? No. No, that was a secondary benefit. In the Old Testament, regular wine is usually associated with drunkenness and is often a metaphor for judgment. But new wine, the best-tasting wine with little or no alcoholic content, was a prophesied sign of blessing related to the coming kingdom. And that was the primary purpose of his first miracle. And I think it must have been new wine because it was a sign that the kingdom was at hand because the messianic king was on the scene. So these miracles all pointed toward the truth of Jesus' message and to his identity as the one who had both the authority and the ability to establish the promised kingdom of God on the earth with him as the son of David on the throne.
I don't know if you know this or not, David, but I have a kind of a neat relationship with Mark Lowry. When he was a student at Liberty there in Lynchburg, Virginia, as Jerry Falwell was establishing his church and also the great school that's there now, Mark was right there on the front row when I would go to speak to some of the super conferences, especially in the area of teenage activities and addressing the super conferences for teenagers. He was on the front row. I did give him some solid information from the Word of God. And there's another clear thing to me in Mary, Did You Know? It's the identity of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about Mark's theology when it comes to the identity of Christ. He makes it clear that he believes that Jesus is the eternal Son of God.
And that's exactly right. In the third line of the second verse, he says, "Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod?" Which points to the eternality of Christ. He didn't just come into existence at the incarnation. The Apostle John begins his gospel with this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And the fourth line of the second verse says, "When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God." And then in John 1:14 we read, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So for us, the incarnation is something we accept by faith based on the Word of God. But here was this young teenage girl whose life had been turned upside down, and now she was holding the Son of God, caring for him, protecting him, and loving him. It's almost impossible to imagine what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph. Can you imagine living with God in the house? And in fact, I've heard Mark Lowry joke about when Jesus' younger siblings got into trouble for doing something wrong, and Mary would say, "Now, why can't you be more like your brother?"
That is so practical when you stop to think about it. Well, the song is very, not only practical, but prophetic in its look at the birth of Jesus Christ. But not only does it talk about the Creator becoming a man, it reminds us that as a man, he will return to rule the world. Something that you mentioned just a bit earlier, David.
Those ideas are in the fourth verse of the song, and they all come from John's gospel as well. The first line refers to Jesus as Lord of all creation, and in John 1:3 we read, "All things were made through him." And in verses 10 and 11, John says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." The third line refers to Jesus as heaven's perfect lamb, which reminds us of what John the Baptist said just before he baptized Jesus when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Mary's son was going to die in our place, taking the punishment we deserve for our sin. And if he was going to die, and if he's still going to be the eternal king, then that means that he must be resurrected from the dead. You know, the first Adam failed, but the last Adam, the eternal Son of God, will live forever and will never fail, and he will rule over the nations from the throne of David forever. And then the last line of the song refers to John 8:58, where Jesus identifies himself as the eternal one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus 3. Jesus was in a dispute with the Pharisees when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am."
Wow. Amen and amen. Hey, David, thank you not only for working with this song and helping us to understand how practical the music is. Mark did a great job, but you did a great job also singing the song, so we appreciate that so very much as well. We hardly ever use, I can't remember when we've used music before, but thank you for doing that for us today. And by the way, a Merry Christmas to you and your family and a blessed new year.
Thanks, Jimmy. The same to you and yours.
Great information, great song by David James here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. You know, God created music to reveal the record of and the prophecies of both the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.